With the help of the Lord, I'd like to find and read out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Isaiah, chapter 6.
Nađena je knjiga proroka Isaije, šesta glava.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the cherubims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted, until inhabitants and the houses without men and the land be utterly destroyed. And the Lord have removed them far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow before him in prayer. In this chapter of Isaiah, we find that there were not many men in the world that was able to see a heavenly vision such as this. But Isaiah was one of them, and there were others that had the same kind of experience when they would turn to the Lord and come to him in sincerity and uprightness, in which I believe Isaiah did all through his time as a prophet of God's people. And so as he reveals this here, vision, if you will, he says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Which leads us to the indication that God and Jesus Christ are high and lifted up. That's probably where we get this opinion that we want to go up to heaven, because this is where we believe this takes place. Where is heaven? Hard to explain exactly where is heaven. But we do believe it's up. And this is why he says this, I believe, that he was lifted up high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And then he said, he explains then what he saw, the seraphims standing, it says, stood at the, and each one had six wings. And then he explains the the definition of their wings. It says two of them covered his face, two of them covered his feet, and then two of them he was able to fly, which leads us to believe then that the angels had this ability, and these seraphims, to fly through and around the kingdom of God as God would so have it. And so then he reminds us of the holiness of God, as one says to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And we find that more than once in the scriptures where different ones talked about our holy God, which he is holy above any other thing that there is, because he is holy. And so when this boy spoke, it was not only to bring out this here vision to him, but it says it was must have been a strong voice, because it says the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So it leaves us with a picture of the almighty power, if you will, of God that is there, and that sometimes we don't always recognize. We don't even sometimes don't always give credit, if you will. But we need to realize sometimes that the almighty God is all-powerful, and not only all-powerful, but he is a very holy being. And so in this presence and in feeling this here within his mind and seeing what he saw, he felt very, uneasy. He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Now, we're talking about a man that was chosen by God. We're talking about a man that was to prophesy to the people. He was a God-fearing man. And he would say this, "Woe is me." And so he felt within himself that I am unworthy, if you will, to be in this presence. And there's been times in my life I felt the same way, that I was unworthy of this heavenly calling which God had called me to. And so he says, "For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And so he felt like being on this earth, this feeling of being alone, if you will, and yet undone, and living with people that are undone, probably because they didn't want to obey the God, they didn't want to obey his commandments. They wanted to go into their idolatry and all their other things that they just didn't want to believe and trust in the living God. And so I could see why he would feel like he's undone, that he's not worthy of what he's been called to do. And so we see that the Lord had to change this to him, change this for him, which only the Lord could do. As he says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." I can't imagine what kind of a feeling that must have been. And probably the only closest thing that any of us could think of or relate to this in some way would be when the Lord spoke to us in our first encounter with him, if you will, and we've been called to be with him forever. We were called to be his child. We were convicted of our sin. We felt undone like Isaiah here. And God had chosen us, those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ and have obeyed this form of doctrine which we have been taught, as the Apostle Paul puts it. And we have learned to love the Lord and learned to serve him. And so we find here that we too can have this undone feeling. But because the Lord speaks to us, calls us in such a manner that who are we? Who am I amongst millions of people that he would call me to be one of his children? So I can relate only that way, to that extent, that Isaiah must have felt here, woe is me, I am undone. And truly I can say, I felt very undone as a sinner in this world. And I don't doubt for a minute that Isaiah was taken back by this with this coal put onto his lips and this change all of a sudden. And then to have this seraphim tell him that his sins are forgiven, his iniquity taken away, and his sins purged. Can you imagine that kind of a feeling? And when we become converted, we have to believe then that the Lord will forgive us. You know, there are people that want to come to the Lord, and for whatever reason or another, they felt like they've been in sin so much and so long and sin so much that they can't even forgive themselves. I've known people like this. Just felt totally trashed, if you will. And couldn't look up even to the Lord and ask for help and strength, because they simply could not bear the sin that they bore and couldn't imagine Christ or God or anybody else, for that matter, forgiving their sin. Couldn't even forgive themselves. This is how bad some people get. Now, I don't say that Isaiah was in that far extent, but he obviously felt very unclean, very undone, until this seraphim come along and cleansed him with this hot coal. And I believe the only way that you and I can relate is the way the Lord then spoke to us, came to us, called us, and we responded with an acceptance, with a belief in Jesus Christ. And so you see, he says he heard this voice, and so when he heard it, he said, who shall I send, and who shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. So you see, once this took place in his life, he felt worthy, if you will, to go and do what God would have him to do. And again, I believe that's the only way you and I, as believers in this day and age, can feel worthy, if you will, to even be a part of this family, and then to go and bring the gospel message or be a witness or be a testimony in our lives. And the only way that we can do that is by the faith and trust and believe in Jesus Christ and believe that we have been forgiven. Believe that the blood of Christ has washed our sins away. You have to have a deep faith to accept that. That's just not something to take lightly. Think about it. You see, we're born into sin. We have no choice. That's just the way it is. And so as we live our lives and we grow up and we learn right from wrong, and we have a tendency to do more wrong than right, and we finally realize and decide and understand that, yes, we are sinners. And, you know, even if you don't do anything wrong, and I've said before and time again, that you don't have to do anything wrong, just to reject the plan of Jesus Christ, and you've done enough sin to keep you out of heaven. So that would qualify you as one of these with unclean lips, dwelling amongst other people with unclean lips, simply because we refuse to accept the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so we find that until that time comes, and you will be willing to accept what God offers through His Son, Jesus Christ, you will be unclean. You will feel unclean. You will feel rejected. You will feel that you, just like He says here, undone. And I can relate to that because that's exactly the way I felt before I became converted. So you see, this vision that he had and what took place in his life and the purification that came out of it all, we can relate to it because we can take and apply that same purification only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Now you see, he said he's going to send him out. He said, go and tell his people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, and perceive not. So he was given this task now, and we're talking about large numbers of people, the Israelite people. And this was his responsibility now. Go and tell them. Accept the Lord. Follow in his ways. Obey his commandments. And they refused. As it says here, their heart. Their heart became, it says, make this heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and their eyes, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be convert, and convert, and be healed. You see, they became so calloused to God's calling, God's pleading with them, his prophets prophesying to them, that they become calloused. And this can happen. Don't think it can. You reject the Lord Jesus Christ long enough, you can be calloused. You can become to the point where you don't want to hear it, you don't want to believe it, you don't even want to come to church. It can go that far. Don't allow that to happen in your life. Because you see, it's like we heard this morning. If you got a heart like the wife of Lot, and your heart and your desires and your concerns is about this life and all the things give interest to you, and you're more interested in that than your soul's salvation. And when you look back, you become a pillar of salt, just like her. If that's what you want for your life, God will grant that. He'll let you callous your heart, close your ears, your heart. You don't want nothing to do with it. And that reminds me of the apostle, Christ, when he spoke and he was teaching the people, in the book of John, it talks about it. It's found in John chapter 12, beginning with verse 37, but it says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? We can read in Isaiah chapter 53, those same words. When Isaiah taught, he prophesied, he went to the people, and it was like one in our ear and right out the other. Never heard a thing. But we got today. We're living in a generation, we're living in a society that's exactly the same way. They don't hear. They only hear little bits and parts like we heard this morning. They only want to hear a little bit. They want to hear about how God's love is and how wonderful it is. Everything's okay. There's more to it than that. It's a straight and narrow way. We learned that Wednesday night. Not a broad way. It's not. You got to be devoted. You got to You got to focus in on what the Lord wants for your life. And so that's why he says here, who has believed our report? And so Christ experienced this. He taught. He miracles after miracles. And they still didn't want to believe. How hard can they make their heart? You see? And that's exactly what took place. And he says here, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe because what that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things, said Isaiah, when he saw his glory, and he spake of them. But you see, what Christ is referring to is the very chapter that we read in chapter 6. That Isaiah was sent, he was to spread and teach about the Lord Jesus Christ, all about God, and they just refused to hear it. They refused to hear it. Their heart became hardened. Their ears were dull of hearing. And so Christ comes across the same kind of thing when he started to teach and preach. And they wouldn't accept him. They couldn't accept the fact that he was born of a virgin. They couldn't accept him. They saw him as Joseph's son. And he had brothers and sisters. He was from Galilee. Who is this Jesus Christ? They didn't want to believe him. They didn't want to accept him. No different than today. No different. They hear the word and can't grasp it. It just doesn't penetrate the heart. And so when Christ went through all of this here, it says here then in John, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. So you see, there were some that finally got the message. They believed on him. But it says, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And we have that today. We have that today. They want to hear. They'll come to church. They'll hear the gospel message. But for whatever reason, for fear, for shame, God only knows why people will not confess who Jesus Christ is. You see, we're given, the Apostle Paul says that we must confess him before men, that we must admit that we know him, that he's our Lord and our Savior. Are you ashamed of that? That's our life. Why would we be ashamed of it? Well, I can tell you why I was ashamed of it. Because I was afraid. I was afraid. I didn't want to be outside. I wanted to be one of the buddies, you know. I wanted to be the good friend and a nice guy and all that junk. And afraid to say, I was converted. I no longer do these kind of things. I want to serve the Lord. I can remember well denying my Lord. Sad to say. But once I realized what he, and it deep sunk deep into my heart, and my ears were more open, if you will, my heart more receptive of it, is when I realized and come to the, you know what? You're denying Christ. Is this what you want to do? No, that isn't what I wanted to do, but I was doing it. And so you see, these kinds of things are reality. They happen in our lives. Let's face it. But you and I may have to make the choices. You and I have to come to the realization that we want to confess him. We want to tell people about him. And there are some people that they make no beans about it. They are not afraid to go right up and say, do you know the Lord? You don't know him? Why don't you know him? You need to learn who he is. I've had people, seen people do this, and I thought, wow. God God, give me that kind of grace that I could boldly say this to people. But somehow, there's that shyness and that, who knows what it is. Satan, I believe, that's what it must be. Why wouldn't you want to proclaim it and pronounce the name of Jesus Christ? Maybe because, like we heard this morning, your heart's not in it. Your heart's back there in Sodom, where all that sin and all that evil is going on. Can't let loose of that kind of stuff. That's why Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, renew your mind. Think about that. Change your attitude. Change your mind. And he talks several places where we once were like this, but now we have changed. And when he wrote to the Colossians, let me read what he said there. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also sometime, when you lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This, brothers and sisters, is the changed life. This is the renewing of the mind. This is where we serve our living God. And if we have our affections set on anything else other than Jesus Christ, we need to reevaluate our own lives. Oh, it's easy to point to someone else and say, oh, look at that. He don't do this. She don't do this. No. Stand in front of the mirror. Look in the mirror. And say to yourself, am I doing this? Have I set my affections on things above? Or have I set them on the things of this world? Am I still like I used to be? Want to walk in these evil ways? Anger and malice and all that. No. That should be put away from our lives as far away as it can be. And only God, only Christ can do this. We give this to him and let him take care of these kinds of things. But by doing that, we have to renew our mind and set our affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. And if we don't, we can do like we heard this morning. We start looking back, and the next thing you know, you become a pillar of salt. And like the brother said this morning, remember Lot's wife. Amen.
We open this reading with the death of a king who is considered, I believe, probably one of the last of the good kings of the southern kingdom. And Isaiah, who is already a servant of God, is probably in some desperation. And what does he do? He does the right thing. He goes into the temple. And in the temple, the Lord reveals himself to him. And he shows him, you don't have to fret about anything. Behind every earthly king is Jesus Christ. He's still there. He's still high and lifted up. Isaiah, you don't have to worry about anything. Yes, there's going to be famine in the land. Yes, they're going to be taken into captivity. Many things are going to happen. He goes, but I'm still on the throne. And we see him, when he sees him, we have to keep in mind, he's already in his service. He says, I am undone. I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. Dear ones, John, this is exactly what John is saying when he says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, you're going to see Jesus high and lifted up if we walk in the light. He says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, dear ones, we can look back to Job. Job was a man who faced his friends who tried to tell him, you're a rotten sinner. And Job could look at them in the eye and tell them, no, I think I am a righteous man. But we can read when Job comes face to face with God, with the Lord, he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, what? I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What does Daniel do? Daniel, when he comes and he sees the Lord Jesus in a vision, it says men that were with him fell down or actually began to quake. And Daniel says, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. A servant of God, John in the Isle of Patmos, says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, and he told him, fear not. Dear ones, who is Jesus to us? Who is the Lord to us? If we in any way feel that we have a claim to him, or that we merit something, then we don't know him. We have not seen him. We are in the darkness. Because if we are in the light, we will say, as Job said, as Daniel did, as John did, as Isaiah did. And what happened with Isaiah? He took the hot coals. It has to represent only the Lord Jesus. And he was cleansed. And dear ones, that is what we need. We need to be cleansed by Jesus Christ and his blood. We need to first recognize who we are, that we in and of ourselves can do nothing. Nothing. And so, dear ones, the Lord reveals himself. We don't have to see him in a vision as the prophets did. We don't have to. Why? We have his word, which is him. And so he declares himself and he shows himself to us. And what is our reaction? What is our reaction? Do we put him aside? Do we just put him aside? I have no interest to find out who you are, Lord. I have no interest in reading about you. Why? Job felt pretty confident with his friends. I'm a pretty good man. Until he saw him. And so it is, dear ones, when we see him in his word and we pray, he reveals himself. In other words, when we read so that our hearts are ready to receive him, we will see ourselves as who we really are. And we will call upon him and he will cleanse us and our joy will be full. This is my desire for each of us in Jesus. Amen.